We sent them secret shovel shipments. They're shooting hypersonic shovels now.
Oh, but Russia is not helping, as far as I know. I mean, the Western media keeps saying that the Russians have abandoned, you know, their allies, and they never help anyone.
Yeah, just don't tell that to the Russians. At the same time, they're all complaining, including Zelensky, that Russian drones are being used by Iran.
When I saw, because I kept saying there are some, you know, guys who kept saying that Iran saved Russia, you know, by sending the drones because Russia doesn't have drone technologies. And then I sent the guy a clip of the guidance module called Kometa in Russian that goes into the Shahed drones. And I'm saying, well, I mean, I don't know when exactly did Iran switch to Cyrillic and when exactly did they switch to Russian, but it seems, you know, this is full Iranian technology, just, you know, with Russian letters. Just, you know, that's just what they like to do.
Well, no, I mean, we really did buy a lot of drones from them at first. It's just we upgraded those drones really quickly to second and third generation. And boy, the American Lucas drone is just an absolute copy of the Russian Garand 3, which is a third generation of the Shahed.
That's what I kept saying to people, like, right now, it's no longer the Shahed, because the Shahed, like, it's not used by even the Iranians themselves.
Iranians used them. They took out an American radar for $500 million one first day, and nobody was firing. That was interesting. That thing is slow, it's loud, and it just took its time and wiped out that radar. So it's like, damn, and nobody was firing on it. Not machine guns, not assault rifles, not Stingers, nothing.
Well, I think the reason for that is because all the radars now have these like software updates where they ignore something that goes slow, right? They're trying to pick up fast moving objects like jets or missiles and so on. And when something with very low, you know, radar cross section, very low flying and very slow moving, you know, gets too close, they don't really expect it, and I think this is the main reason why these drones are so effective and so cost effective at the end of the day.
Yeah, but you would expect, you know, on the roofs of the buildings. If I was the commander of that base, I'd have had guys with Stingers sitting on the roofs of the buildings just for something like that. You take it out as it's coming. I mean, it's going like 200 kilometers an hour. That's not fast for something that's airborne.
Yeah, of course, that's pretty slow. I'm impressed by the Russian, by these Russian drone interceptors, especially the new one, the Yolka, if I'm not mistaken, that's the name, right? That's like, it's the best way to intercept these damn things, because you can't fire Iglas anymore or Strelas because they're just too expensive. But if you fire this little thing, which is AI controlled, if I'm not mistaken, and you don't need a lot of time to, you know, train someone to do it, like, you can protect most of Russia now, and like, you can do it for pennies.
Well, I won't say it's just Russian. Actually, the Ukrainians have them. The Indians have them. So I had a guy from an Indian company contact me if I can get him to some Russian procurement. And it's the same thing that Russia has. I mean, it's a little bit different design. But they're kinetic energy. They're not. They don't have an explosive warhead. At least the Russian one doesn't. And it's on a little stand, so you hold it like a rifle. You just aim it. It picks up the target, and you release it, and it just flies at that target. All it's going to do is smack the crap out of it. But it's plastic on plastic, and this is a harder plastic going faster. So, yeah, and it can maneuver. So it just takes out that drone, smacks it hard enough, and all either explodes or just falls out of the sky. But you're right, they're cheap.
Well, I mean, the cheap is what you need in war. People always forget about the economy of war. Mm-hmm. You know, the Americans are now, we're firing like $7 million Patriot interceptors, the XM-400s, at the Iranian Shaheds and Garands, which are like $35,000. Like, the discrepancy in the price tag is freaking insane. Like, you can, and how many of these interceptors can you afford? And then, like, count how many of those drones can Iran afford? And the math doesn't math, as they say today.
Well, those THAAD interceptors, by the way, are 12 million.
Yeah, they're even worse. Like,
and they're literally bullet on bullet. They don't have area, they don't have area explosive warheads that the cover.
Yeah, they don't have the fragmentation explosives. Right. It's all like hit to kill. Yeah,
it's bullet on bullet, which is like 1950s technology. So yeah.
Pretty
So
much.
okay,
Like,
sure.
to me, it's incredible that they're still refusing to upgrade to shaped charges and, other stuff that the Russian air defense systems have been using, like, for, I don't know, 60 years or longer, which, of course, makes the Russian air and missile defenses far, far better. And, like, I keep telling people, can you imagine, like, how NATO would perform against Russia if this is how bad they are against Iran? Like, imagine what the, and, like, the NATO analysts keep saying, like, oh, like, we would crush Russia in 3 days. And I'm saying, like, how exactly do you think that's going to be done? Because the Russians have the R-37s, which is like a 400-kilometer air-to-air hypersonic missile, which the West cannot make at all. Like, I'm talking about hypersonic missiles in general. They've been unable to make them effective at all. And now the latest, like the one that the U.S. is trying to induct, is the so-called Dark Eagle, the long-range hypersonic weapon. And when I saw the stats, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is like a hypersonic weapon. It has a 13-kilogram warhead, and the speed is Mach 7. And
Yeah,
I'm
it's
thinking,
like a
what is?
first generation, low end first generation.
Yeah, like this is actually lower tech than what Iskander is, and Iskander is not even counted as a hypersonic weapon, even though it pretty much is for all intents and purposes. The 9M723 missile is like
Well,
it fulfills all the parameters of a
it
hypersonic
does. It
weapon.
doesn't. Iskander is a ballistic missile, and ballistic missiles will go as fast as a hypersonic missile, but they or nearly as fast, but they're not maneuverable. Once it's launched on target, it's going to that target. It can't maneuver out of the way of air
But
defense systems.
doesn't like the 9M73 actually have maneuverability, and it does that at like up to 30 G, because that's like the info I read in the Russian sources. Like a 30 G maneuverability is like it's a massive amount of G's that that a missile can sustain, which means it has some kind of a maneuverability, right? It's not just a regular ballistic missile.
Well, the hypersonics, the hypersonics, they're not actually a missile. They ride on a missile. So you get a ballistic missile
Oh,
that
yeah,
ex
you're talking
that
about
shoots out,
the
accelerates them.
hypersonic glide vehicles,
Right.
right.
The hypersonic missiles are actually glide vehicles. They're
Yeah.
riding on a ballistic, so you can kind of take them out as they're arching up, but you've got a very small window. And if you're not, ready for it, and you can't reach, God only knows where it's coming from, your chances are pretty much a zero. But once it accelerates and that glide vehicle is loose, I mean, it does crazy maneuvers. There's just zero
Yeah.
chance of trying to. I mean, theoretically, if you've got enough warheads and you got enough time, I guess you could just put up a gigantic cloud of shrapnel and maybe damage it. But that's, theoretically. But the S-550 can take out slow-moving hypersonic missiles.
Well,
It
yeah, but
accelerates to Mach 13 out of the tube, just shortly out of the
yeah.
tube.
Yeah, I've seen the video. It's crazy. I mean, if you're standing behind it, you would be crushed like in half of the second or less.
It's I mean, it can't take out the high-end hypersonics, but it'll take out the low-end, the ones that Americans are trying to develop and having
Yep.
difficulty with. So yeah. Well, let me ask you this before we go. Europe is facing a total crisis in gas. I mean, let's talk reality. The EU's backed off from Russian gas. Russia's backed off from the EU, doesn't want to sell it except for Hungary and Slovakia. Oil's not coming except for American oil, or you can buy it through India, and India got smacked upside the head for betraying BRICS, and now it's paying the market value plus premium adjustment since they betrayed Russia and Iran and put their bets on Saudi Arabia. Puh, yeah. That was a good bet by Modi. Gas isn't coming from Qatar anytime soon, considering how badly everything's damaged. Never mind, take a 3 weeks to put it up and get it up and running if it wasn't damaged. EU is in a crap position. How is that going to hit Serbia? And what is Serbia is doing, if anything, to hedge its bets?
Well, right now, like we have enough gas and enough fuel for about, I don't know, a month or so, maybe a month and a half.
This is half a year to a year plus, and maybe several years the way this
Yeah,
is going.
this is the issue. Like Serbia will have to turn back to Russia to essentially, ensure its gas supplies continue. Oil is a different story. Like oil actually comes from the old Yugoslav Janaf, which is like the Adriatic pipeline, oil pipeline that goes through from Croatia to Serbia. Now, this is a very, very bad position for Serbia to be dependent on Croatia,
Oh, yeah.
for its oil supplies. For those who don't know, the Croats were the most well, they were the happiest to ally themselves with Hitler, and they were smart enough, obviously that being sarcasm. To send their troops to Stalingrad, where they didn't really, because Croats are very used to killing kids and, and women and old people and those who can't shoot back. And, when you encounter the Russian army after doing only that, it tends to be problematic for your performance, for your battlefield performance.
It's a
So in
fast lesson
essence,
learned.
now they're not so keen to go to to fight Russia again, although they are the highest, like they have the highest number of volunteers in the Kiev regime forces, while the Serbs are like the highest the most prevalent among the Balkan peoples in the Russian army. Essentially, like we have always been against each other. We always have always supported different sides. Although now, this is very interesting. Now Croatia is trying to, have some contacts with Russia and so on, because and this is a very, very indicative thing for me. It's almost like a litmus test of who's going to win, because the Croats always try to switch to the winning side at the very end, and they've done that twice. That is also on Serbia's fault, because we allowed them to be on the winner's side, twice through Yugoslavia. This time, that's not going to happen unless somebody in Serbia decides to be totally fucking insane and do it again, which of course the rest of us are not going to allow. So Russia,
Can I
so
volunteer a
Croatia.
name? Guess I won't volunteer the name
Well,
of who may be ready to do that.
I hope not, because I mean, it will be the craziest thing ever. But because they know they can't force Serbia to do it, now they're trying to, make some contact with Russia. And of course, Russia just tell them, fuck off, dude, because I know you fucking hate me, and I know you're trying to do this just because, you're afraid to be on the losing side once again for the 100th time. So in essence, when it comes to Europe, I know this is going to hurt Serbia, but to be honest, I don't care. Like, all I want to see is Europe smashed, because that's what it fucking deserves for doing all this. We know that Europe was always the tool of the Anglo-Americans and the City of London and their crazy fucking Russophobia. We know that the English have always pushed Europe, into a war with Russia, because that weakens both sides and leaves them on top.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this time, I hope it's going to be different. I keep saying, I know the UK is a nuclear armed country, but I'm thinking, dude, if I had nukes, I know exactly the spot that I would hit first. And of course, the City of London being the source of like 95% of evil on this planet, which of course the Epstein files also prove, we
I don't
can,
know,
we can.
Washington's up there pretty damn close, you
Oh
know.
yeah, of course. But the thing is, if you get rid of the City of London, Washington DC is too far away, and they're also like too worried about China, so they would probably just leave Europe and refocus on China, because they're obsessed with China, because China is just too powerful for them. So in essence, we are in a situation where it's going to be Europe alone against Russia, and I think both Russia and Serbia, just like Serbia has been way too lenient on its opponents in the previous wars, Russia has also been way too lenient on its own opponents, especially the Germans, because the Germans have done all sorts of bad things to Russia, including the massacres of the World War II, which should never be forgotten. I mean, I keep saying this, They've killed 27 million people, like 19 million of those are civilians, and about 3 million of those were POWs who were like killed in the most brutal ways you can imagine. So in essence, after all this, if I were Russia, I would not forgive Europe a single thing, because now we have the Europeans again supporting a Nazi fucking regime in, you know, in Kiev, and killing Russians once again, supporting them with weapons and stuff like that. Not to mention, you know, all these terrorist attacks. What happened in Bryansk is not the first time. We also had the Simferopol, or actually it was the Sevastopol beach about 2 years ago. I think it was August 2024, maybe 2023. I can't remember exactly now. When only thanks to the Russian missile defenses, there weren't hundreds, if not thousands, of dead people on those beaches. It was like four dead people and 150 wounded. And the only reason it wasn't a massacre, like a total fucking massacre, is because, you know, the S-400s shot down all those attackants. But because it was, those were like the cluster warheads, some of the fragments fell and killed, you know, several people. Like I think four or maybe five. I can't remember exactly.
Four, and one of them was a child.
And one of them was a child. So there you go. Like, and why on earth would you target, you know, a beach packed with tourists? Like, why the hell would you do it? Like, what exactly do you accomplish? And you know, and people think, oh, maybe it was an accident. Maybe they were, you know, they were trying to destroy some military target that was close. Well, I mean, were there any military targets close to the school in Minab where they killed 170 kids? 7 to 12 years old.
Yeah, supposedly.
Yeah,
there was about 15 years.
They keep missing, you know, with all their high tech, they keep missing and somehow, you know, always hitting children. And then the Epstein files tell you, oh, they like to do all these sick stuff to the kids. They're fucking obsessed with doing all sorts of things to kids. So in essence, people who thought that this was not, you know, a fight between good and evil, I suggest just read 10 Epstein files, not 3 million. It would need 10 years to do that. But like, just read 10 of the most disturbing files you can find, and you understand everything, who's the evil and who's not. Another thing, I keep saying this in almost all shows, TV programs I do. I call upon people to remember what the so-called International Criminal Court accused President Putin of. They said they could have like pinned anything on him. Like, they could have pinned that Bucha false flag. They could have pinned, they could have been any fabricated war crime on Putin. But what they did is they pinned kidnapping kids, you know, on Putin. Now, why is that? Well, because they wanted 20,000 kids to end up on those fucking islands, right? And when the Russians asked, okay, we're going to give you back the kids, just give us the names of their legal guardians and the parents. And out of the 20,000 kids, they could only give 339 names of the parents, which means that the rest of these 20,000 kids would end up God knows where. And because Russia refuses to, you know, give those kids away, Putin is a war criminal. That's a very, very interesting thing.
Those kids. Well, first of all, a lot of those kids, you can tell them who the parents are, because the parents are citizens of Russia, from those forward areas that want their kids out of the range of fire. As for some of the kids that have been given back, the parents are druggies. They had their kids removed from them because they were druggies. They photograph them with the kids and then whatever, and then they don't give a damn about that because the PR moment is gone, and that's it.
It still demonstrates that they wanted the kids for their fucking sick things that they're doing in islands. And now here's the Russian army preventing, you know, them from doing this. And somebody has like they keep saying like, oh, like it's not that simple. It's a gray area. What the fuck is gray there? Like, you have people doing all those things to kids and they have people saving them. Like, what exactly are you not sure about? Like, you don't have to like Russia. Just take that one example of what's going on. And you know, it's all you have to know.
Yeah, you're right. Well, thank you for your time. We've got a it's been a hell of a last 3 weeks, and for once we're actually not talking about directly about Iran. So it's Iran 23 hours and 50 minutes of the time, and then 10 minutes
pretty much
anything else.
Yeah, it's same for me,
literally just suck the air out of every room and every issue, which is driving Zelensky nuts, of course. At this point, nobody remembers it. Nobody remembers that little dwarf. So everybody, thank you. Leave Drago comments. He'll have the link, so he can definitely answer if he wishes to. Leave him nice comments. One of your videos I posted up, and I had this just army of I don't know, bots maybe, or because on the one side he's a commie leftist bastard, on the other side he's a NATO bastard, on the other side he's a Nazi Serbian supreme. It's like, geez, you people are all over the place. It's just direction.
There was one comment that claimed I was a member of the Bosnian army during the 1990s, and I just want to tell people who think that's true, I was born in 1991. So unless you believe that I was like a four-year-old guy with an AK, that's true, 100%.
Hey, I learned a lot of things about myself when I read. I don't come up on American articles too often, but the couple times I do, I learn lots of new things about myself every time. I read them just, who am I today? So it's fun. what new facts will I learn about myself today? Western journalism, baby. So, all right, everybody, thank you. Everyone, thank you. Drago, thank you.
Thank you, man.